everyone. I'd like to say hi and welcome to the Cos Professional panel with our special guest, Jackie Kraft of Jackie Kraft Cosplay. And
hello, guys. Thanks for coming. I appreciate it. I'm really excited to see some familiar faces, some people I've seen at MachiCon this weekend and at the other panel also. So I forgot to glue my rocket back in, you know, cosplay problems. So just like chilling. It's a weird little guy. Watch me squeeze my head together while I push it down. This is a really practical Farah, as you can see. Awesome. So we're just going to talk about, you know, kind of what I do. And I want to take questions from you guys because I don't really know what people want to know from me. I have general ideas I get of the same questions I get asked, like what kind of skill set does it take, how to get started, who to contact, things like that. But I definitely want to take questions if this is something that you're interested in doing. And I want to talk about some of the jobs that I've worked on. And obviously, this one was for Blizzard. They commissioned me to make it for the virtual ticket content, which was part of their BlizzCon stuff last year. And then I was brought on to wear it and be a roaming reporter at BlizzCon, which was really fun and interesting to hold a mic while having this, but it worked out. And then I've also worked with Nintendo. I was hired by them at, I think, April of last year, it's all a blur, for San Diego Comic-Con for their Splatoon 2 release. It was a set of props from them, 7 props, and I had 2 weeks to make them. So crazy. I can't even, like, that's one thing to note about this. Patterning is easier for me as far as like not working myself to death, and it's, you can do it at the couch, you know, you can be comfortable, watch Netflix. Prop and costume making is a lot harder, and that's something that if you want to get into and you want to do it for an industry or do it in the industry job, just prepare yourself for how much physical work it is. It is really, really hard. It is not uncommon for me, if I have a 2-week deadline, to work an 18-hour day on my feet, barely surviving to just try to get it done. And now I have teammates and people I'd hire on, and I just bid on a job where I would have had 4 people with me instead of just me. So the nice thing is, once you do get jobs, you can begin to branch out. But in the beginning, just prepare yourself that it's a lot of work and it's very hard, because you have to make something really good in order to be competitive. It is because there's so many people that are really good. So it's definitely, just keep that in mind, that it is a hard job. It's not easy. It's glamorous a little bit, but, you know, when you look at it on the outside, but it's hard on the inside. Really hard. So.
All right. One thing I just want to ask you, because you just told us some of the things you've worked on, some of the things you've been a part of. At what point did you consider yourself a professional?
So here's a weird thing. People call you a professional before you think you're a professional, because to me, when I'm making a regular income, it's a professional job to me, and a regular good income above, you know, poverty level, above net, like state average. I consider that a professional job. Not everybody considers that. But professional is when you've been paid for a job. And on my taxes right now, yes, I have certain jobs that are professional, and I itemize for that job. So I guess the IRS thinks that I'm a professional. But there are people that are trained and have gone to school for some of the things I do, and they're professionals in practice and technical aspects. But I guess it really is just kind of a loose-ended term. I feel like I'm becoming a professional. This last year was my most successful year. This year's starting out really good, and I definitely feel like it's sustainable. It's becoming sustainable. But in the beginning, like any small business, it's not. And the pattern making is what helped me. Getting a pattern with Simplicity, a company that's been around for 90 years, being on their 90th anniversary covering all the stores in Joann's and Walmart, and that felt professional. Being a contestant on Cosplay Melee didn't really feel professional. Kind of felt like, well, this is crazy. Why am I here? You know. So it's, I think, you know, more than anything. People will tag you that or call you that. I consider myself like a professional hobbyist, I suppose. But maybe one day I'll be a professional.
Okay. Growing up. So what do you think the skill sets that are not just beneficial, but what do you think are the required skill sets for this? Or are there required skill sets?
Yeah, so the thing about this is, as I talked about in the last panel, skills can be obtained, can be acquired. You can hone your skills, work on your skills. I'm not good at something still, like leatherworking, but I was terrible at a lot of things. My very first prop, I sculpted a League of Legends Ash bow out of water or air-dry clay. It looked so cool, and it weighed 50-some pounds. Nobody was going to use that. I wasn't going to use it. I threw it away after like a year and a half of holding on, just being sad about it. But it's you get better. I know how to make things lightweight now, and I work on comfort, and that comes with time. I will say, if you are interested in the industry side of things, being really good. I spent 3 days this last weekend bidding on a job for a really big video game company. They reached out to me, and if you've made it, if they're interested in you, they'll reach out to you a lot of times, but you can also reach out. And they asked me for a proposal. So I spent 3 days working on a very professional proposal. You can't just write it on a notepad and scan it kind of thing.
Just slide it across the table.
Exactly. So I thought, like, I need this to be better than what, you don't know what everybody else is doing. That's the thing. And you'll never know. I'm going to tell you right now, some of my closest friends are in this industry, and it is so hard to get anything out of them. And that's just the way it is. They love you, your friends, they may hire you for a job, but they're not going to give you the reason why they got the job, because it's competitive and it's just the way the industry is. And I have no qualms with that, that's fine. But I will tell you that, because there are plenty of jobs for everybody in my opinion, that it needs to be professional. You need to, if you don't know their game, you've got to research it and look like you know their game. I'm not kidding. And I went above and beyond and labeled things and said, pulled snapshots out of the game and made sure to say, like, oh, I don't know how this character looks from the back, but knowing where they live in your world, and this is their origin story, this creature also lives in that zone, maybe this is what the back of this looks like. I mean, it's that level. You got to take it that far. And it needs to be worded well. Humor's fine, but no shortened, you know, anything crazy. Everything you learned in school applies here, but not in NDA format. That's so stupid.
Yes.
I'm just saying. Like,
down with that.
No, it's not stupid, but it's not for this. Like, well, actually, yeah, it's stupid. I hated it. I always got points off, guys. Like, I was a biology major. I definitely should have paid a little more attention, though. But I have Microsoft Word, and I put up, make spreadsheets and all that, and I will say that the bid was really hard, and then when they accept the bid, the proposal of just how you'll make the costumes and the costs, then they want a very detailed write-up, and this has happened to me 3 times, so this does occur. They're not going to take your word for it on, this is how I definitely can make you that rocket launcher, and here's how it'll be made. I'm going to make it out of resin, and it'll be great, and I'll like sand it, and it'll be really shiny. Everybody could tell them that, you know, and then it could be terrible. So you have to have a portfolio, have images that you can show. It could be like this finish on this other prop I've made. So make small things for yourself. Don't kill yourself making large examples. Make a Zenyatta orb like I did and polish it up really nice and do a good paint job. Then you have a small example that took you a weekend, as opposed to a full set of armor isn't necessary for a portfolio. And I will say that, so I made sure to list the different types of materials. If I'm at a distance from a lot of these companies, but I did go to California for a job last November, December, something like that, and I had to have swatches on the character boards. So some companies will ask for swatches. You may have to mail them in somewhere. Most of the time, they'll take your word for it in a reference, as long as you describe the material really well. Like, I'm going to use a goat skin leather for this because it's lightweight and it'll be flexible for the loincloth. It'll move around really nice on camera. They want that, and that seems weird, and a lot of people don't talk about that. They're like, oh, this cool company got me to make this gun. It's really cool. But a lot went into getting that job, you know, and then you just see the final product. And it's a lot of very professional meetings, all over the phone, a lot of meetings, and you just have to be comfortable, be yourself, not be nervous, and really be confident that you can do it. If you can sell it, if you can sell your confidence, it makes all the other things, the write-ups, the proposals, easier and more likely to not get kicked back. So it's definitely
so,
a lot of preparation.
So what are the avenues that a crafter, a creator, a cosplayer, like, what are some areas that you can, like, reach out to be hired?
So this is such a crazy thing, but there's so many ways to get noticed. Making other stuff and posting it on social media, that's a way to get noticed. But companies get tagged a lot, and they see a lot of people's work. I am not afraid to write a very fancy 5-paragraph essay and submit it to someone's customer service team. I'm not above that. I've talked to people at Bethesda, I've talked to Tryon Worlds, and about setting up something at PAX East booth. They were amazing to talk to. All I did was just spam every person on their email contact list until somebody connected me. Very politely. I'm like, hey, I love your games. I'm looking to talk to someone in your marketing department. Could you connect me? Have a lovely day, or happy gaming in yada yada world. You know, add character. Make it readable, interesting. Don't just be like, hey, dude, can you connect me with somebody that's paying me to make some stuff? You know, I know none of you would do that, but you'd be surprised how little effort people will put into something and then get furious that they didn't get it. I put as much effort as I physically and mentally am capable of, and it has paid off. But there are a lot of people like me that'll do that. So you have to want it really bad. It's the same way in any job, you know? So I will say that reaching out on Twitter, a lot of companies have social media teams that answer their Twitter. I mean, that's like Blizzard has one, and you send a message to Blizzard, someone's going to see it. Smooth On and Reynolds Advanced Materials, I got a partnership with them, and that was as simple as, well, someone else. I messaged someone for an email, and then they connected me, and it was a long chain, but you find somebody that knows someone that works there. It's all about who you know, and if you don't know anyone, get to know someone, and not get to know them in a way to use them for a job. Reach out to them and offer your services. You know, don't be shady about it. But it's I will say that there's so many ways to get in contact, but cold calling is what it's called, I guess, in some industry. I don't know. Cold calling is what people tell me it's
freezer
called.
Freezer sales?
Freezer sales.
Yes.
And so I guess I send a lot of emails, and it's really worked out for me. Some companies politely decline. I reached out to a lot of paint companies, and nobody wants to work with me, and that's fine. They don't like me. I just won't paint anything ever again. Just completely warbler. But they have their own reasons, and you have to respect that and be polite. But it's a lot of companies are beginning to work with cosplay because the tag on Instagram has 28 million tags. It's a booming community. I mean, that's a giant, giant marketing area. So it's definitely something to look into, and don't be afraid to write up something nice and get your friends to look at it, friends you trust and won't steal your job, and your family to look at it. I send pitches to my dad. My dad is a professor, and he's like, this sounds really lazy at the bottom here and stuff like that. And you just have to take the criticism and correct it. And it's helpful. It's helpful to have someone else. I've talked to Hector about job-related and things in this community. Find somebody that gives good advice and that can be your soundboard. Because you can be your own worst enemy and be afraid to submit it because it's too amateur or too newbie or it's not professional enough. It can look, as long as it looks good and it's formatted good, you get away with a lot. They just want something that's easy on the eyes and isn't just a bunch of stuff in a run-on sentence. So.
Just to ask, you've created a lot of things. What's your favorite thing you've created, thing you're most proud of?
I love this costume, but it was so rushed that there's so many imperfections, just so much wrong with it. And
we're all disappointed.
Thank you. It's okay. I'll try to make it up to you. I wish it was better, but I'm happy with the time that I had to make it in because I had to exist and live within those 6 weeks as well. Of making it, and it was definitely, and I made so many things multiple times. I made the shoulders twice. I made the shins, three different of one shin to get the size right because they didn't make any sense. Her body shape is really tapered, and I'm a big girl, and it was so hard. I made three of these, of the lower part. Three, guys. That's not a lie. I could literally post and show you. One of them is on my shelf. I was so upset because I could not get the proportions right. And I have Papakura, and I would enter my height and everything in my dimensions. It just didn't translate for this part. This is such a weird part. And so now I just have like a lower part of abs. It's for like a doll. It's so small. It's ridiculous. So there's things that I see flaw in. I guess the thing I've made that I like the most, I love my King Varian because I like that character so much. I felt really cool in that. I loved the lion. It was hard. It was my first one to do something like really obnoxiously large and try to figure out the physics of making those shoulders work on me. So I felt very proud about that, I'd say. But I don't know. I guess that's my favorite to date. I like the Zenyatta orb I've worked on, not because of the orb itself, but because I spent 6 hours working on the coding for it, and that was something I hadn't done before, and I was like, this is going to be super easy. I took a coding class in college. This will totally pay off. Well, it was Visual Basic in college, so it didn't translate, if any of you guys know what that is. So thanks, guys. But it did help me understand Booleans and the basics. So even if it's not your major, I highly recommend a programming class. Like, it pays off. Or even classes online. So I programmed my little Zenyatta orb, and it just kept failing. One pixel would light up. NeoPixels, just a fun fact, those beautiful LEDs that you see people use in costumes, they don't run plug and play. They must have a microcontroller. They have to have code. So if you buy one, you're like, oh, this would be great. I'm going to put it in my costume. And then one dead LED turns on or something. It's not dead. It's just the code. So I bought 8 of them before I realized that. Like an idiot. I thought they were dead because people were telling me, oh, they sometimes they're dead on arrival and it was one pixel. It was my code that was wrong. And I ordered them again. Man, you just don't live through me and don't do it. So once I got it, though, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And it was like, 4 NeoPixels doing this awesome sequence, and there is nothing. I didn't have to even put it in a prop. I just was happy to have it at my desk, and I was so excited. And Arduino, their code and everything is really easy to work with, and they have a lot of pre-made on Adafruit.com's site. You can copy-paste straight-up code off there. People have already done the work for you, so if you do have a project that's similar to something they've made, you can just copy-paste their stuff. So, and give them credit if you feel like it. If you're nice. I give credit because I like to give credit. I feel like it's good karma.
You've mentioned coding. You've mentioned some of the classes you've taken. You mentioned you have your degree in biology. Are there any like educational paths or resources that you would recommend for anyone that's trying to do this? Like even if they're just auditing.
Yeah. So something I wish I had in my area that you guys have here. I just made this really awesome leather satchel, and it was so hard I wanted to die. I can't believe how hard leather working is. What is that? How is it that hard, guys? It's like masonry. Like, it was magic. It was very challenging to make it look as good as I can make foam look. Right? Foam is, I can manipulate with a Dremel and heat it and, you know, use caulk to fill seams and sculpt on it. But I wanted the leather to be all leather. I didn't want to have to change the leather with other things I've used before. And it was very challenging. Well, down at Ribbon and Rivets, I know Matt, and Matt is the original person 3 years ago that told me the materials to buy for this one hide that I'm just now using. And he totally taught me what I was doing wrong. It was this weird tree gum stuff that I was supposed to rub along the edges, like smooth it and make it look really shiny. You know how leather, the edge of a belt is really shiny? It's not when you make it yourself. It's crazy, raggedy, and awful. And it was all because I was missing the stuff that you rub into the seam. And now my satchel's going to look great. But I wish Tandy Leather offers classes and like little workshops, I guess. I wish I had one near me I could go to. Reynolds, Smooth On, that is invaluable. If you can attend a mold making class, I toured the factory in Pennsylvania, and they had this amazing setup for classes. I was so envious because it's one thing to learn online, but to take those classes and learn mold making. And mainly, the thing about mold making, it's not, the hard part isn't mixing the silicone, pouring the silicone, and using mold release. That's not it. Hard part is making a good mold, making a good jacket on a mold, a shell, claying up a mold so that this, you know, it looks really nice and your registration keys are in the right way. And the trickiest part of all is pour spouts, very strategically placed pour spouts. And little things like, I cast this dragon skull, guys. And I've made a lot of little molds. And this big old dragon skull, I was really excited. And it didn't occur to me that the dragon skull is hollow through the inside of its skull area. And I put mold release on everything, but it didn't occur to me that the silicone in this one section would go together and create a closed loop, like around teeth and stuff, and around like spindles of bone. And even though I put mold release, that spindle was like inside of one side of it, you know what I mean? And the teeth, the silicone had gone around them, even though it was a split mold, because all of those things have to be clayed off or the silicone will connect around it. It's just these little things that, like, man, so stupid. And I have friends now. I can send them a picture and be like, this is bad. Tell me how to make it not bad. But I wish I hadn't done it bad the first time. And little classes at Smooth On help so much, and you can ask those questions. It was like a question I didn't know to ask kind of situation. You don't know it until you've done it wrong. And that's kind of me all the time. So definitely any classes you can get at Reynolds are so good. Joanne's has classes. I took a really boring but super helpful sewing class at Joanne's, and it was for pattern scaling, and now here I am making patterns. And had I not sat through that boring class, mainly boring because it was hard, I guess, and hard can be boring. I shouldn't say boring. It was hard. The guy was very thorough, and I bought the tools, and it worked really well for me because now I have the ability to take something that's a size 2 and scale it to a 22 if I need to, and that is hard. It's very hard. You can't just expand something and expect it to look the exact same way. It's really about all the proportions on a piece, and that's armor too. So, and if you're making armor for commission on demand, the job I just was doing a proposal on, they sent me the influencer's measurements. And at a distance, that's what you have. You have their measurements. So I send them a chart with every measurement, neck around, shoulder, back across, like length of the thigh, width of the thigh, in two places. You need it all. And you have to know how to apply that. A lot of numbers, and little things like the circumference of a circle, very useful if you're making a skirt, because you get someone's waist measurement, bam, you got it. Like math, who would have thought, you know, geometry, useful. So things like that are really important, but yeah, taking some classes at Reynolds is super good.
Okay. What would you say are the most useful tools that you could recommend for people?
Like physical tools?
Mm-hmm. Like, because I know, like, with you had your pen of your heat gun.
Oh yeah, my little maker swag pen.
Your maker swag pen. What are some actual tools that you would recommend for people from armor lower industry cosplay? Because what are some recommendations just for people? Just if you want to have these tools to make your cosplay better, what would you recommend?
Okay. So I have, a year ago I built a workshop, a two-story workshop, and I have all the goodies I could need now. But in the beginning, I had to make space for the small tools I had. And I will say the most invaluable thing is a rotary tool. And I have a Fordham now, but that's an expensive tool, and I still, right beside it hanging, have my Winn rotary tool that was $23, and it's because it has a flexible shaft included in the $23. It is incredible. I've sanded everything with it. It's still surviving, and I love it. I kind of prefer it sometimes to my Fordham just because the shaft is really heavy, the part that you hold on to. But the Winn is so good. A rotary tool is invaluable. You can clean up any mistakes you make. A lot of my foam, glue foam together, don't have like a little lip or something that's hanging off wrong. You just hit it with a Dremel and it cleans it right up. A belt sander is like $60. You can get one at Harbor Freight. Good option too, but the problem is it kicks up a lot of dust. You can't do it in your living room, which don't Dremel in your living room either. But it's for little finite itty bitty pieces. My flex shaft on my rotary tool with all the different bits, I can get really tiny details in. I can't do that with a belt sander. You can also weather, like hit gashes and mace or like flail bits into armor with a rotary tool. So I think it's very versatile if you don't have a belt sander's extra, or a wood-burning tool. So rotary tool can take place of a wood-burning tool. Wood-burning tools, like on my Variant, I have all these like stone kind of texture details, and I wood burned all the way through it to create this crazy pattern. It took so long, and now I've been weathering a lot with my rotary tool just because I have it right there. It's easy, and you can get the same effect. So if you're on a budget, you need one tool to kind of rule them all, it's definitely the rotary tool. So I would do that. And then contact cement. It doesn't have to be barge. I know the community is like barge. Barge is great. I love barge. Can't live without it for some things like shoe stuff. Anything that's going on your feet and it's going to have a lot of traffic, use a really good adhesive. But like DAP, the Weldwood contact cement, it's really cheap. That's fine for just general multi-purpose, like putting foam together kind of thing. But you may need more than one coat on the piece. So, yeah. And then a cutting mat, a good snap blade, and a sharpener. I have an AccuSharp tool that's $9 on Amazon. A lot of my friends have like the thing that removes burrs and like sharpening stones and other sharpening stuff that I don't know the name of, but I have. I like this weird little AccuSharp tool that I can just, it has a safety guard. I literally can just pull it on my blade and it does all the work for me. I don't have to know which way to lay the blade because I dull blades really badly on the stones. I don't know if I'm just an idiot, but nobody taught me growing up. My granddad taught my brother how to sharpen his blade. Like, why didn't nobody teach me? That's not fair. I could really use that now. And so I have this AccuSharp and it works great and it doesn't kick up sparks like the kitchen tool does. I bought a little kitchen one and I was like, I don't know if I want all these sparks in the shop right here where I am. So it, a sharpener's helpful. Because people cut foam with a dull blade. I get all these messages like, my bevels aren't very good or my edges don't look great. I've got all this raggedy stuff. It's totally because you didn't sharpen your blade. I promise. And that $9 blade will make you be able to use your one cheap blade and not have to replace it for a long time. And that's the big thing is people are like, well, I keep having to buy blades. I'm going through these blades and they're so expensive. I've had my blade on there for probably a whole costume just because I sharpen it so much and spray it with a little WD-40 from time to time and run it through to get like the burrs off. So I don't know. Those, a sharpener, good blade, rotary tool. That's probably all that you need to get started.
Okay.
And a heat gun, of course.
And a heat gun.
Hair dryer doesn't work, so.
All right. I know a lot with cosplay kind of focuses around social media right now, mm-hmm. from marketing to the demographics to, like, honestly, some cosplayers are judged by their social media presence.
Yeah.
What would you say is the most important thing for a cosplayer dealing with social media, and how should they use social media?
Social media is such a finicky thing. In 2012, that Facebook change that occurred, it was really easy to get for people to get likes before, a lot easier. And now there's all these algorithms. It's really changed. I have a friend that works at Facebook, and it's gated. It's really changed. It's a business. They want you to pay for advertising, and that advertising is still not guaranteed. So it's really a tricky time, but you will get judged by, you want to be a guest, just a guest that dresses up at the booth and like maybe sells photos or something. People are pretty hard about that. And I want you to know that prepare yourself mentally it's okay that if you get rejected, everybody gets rejected. Don't let it get you down. Don't let it stop you. But know that a lot of times they want star power for that. So if your thing is like just kind of you want to be a character and you want to sell prints, just expect that it's not really easy to get that gig. Social media following matters for that kind of thing. If you're a crafter, it's a lot easier to get your foot in the door. If you're willing to teach or have something to offer, say you want to do a workshop, or I got my job and I got a gig at a con in Germany. It's my first international con in June. I'm really excited. And when I reached out to them, cold called, I was like, hey, I was on the show, and this is my resume of what I've worked on, but I'm also willing to come and do a workshop. They have paid workshops where you can actually create something, 10 of them, which is really cool. I wish more cons would do that. So, like, I'll be teaching, and then we'll be making together, and then they get to take it with them.
Wow.
It's a breastplate.
That is great.
Which is, like, what the heck? So cool. So I'm really excited to do that, but, oh, my point was, what you need to do is offer them something that either no one else can give them, or you can do really well and confidently. And that's the hardest thing, is just finding your niche, finding what you're good at, finding what you feel like you could teach or pass on to someone or work through with someone. If you're nervous about doing it by yourself, offer a team. I would definitely say that getting your foot in the door with anything that involves like guesting is kind of difficult. It truly is about your art. If cosplay is an art to you, and you want to push that on to other people and help other people get confident and comfortable cosplaying, offer a panel on like diversity or how to have confidence or how to cosplay a character to your body type. There's a lot of panels that don't necessarily involve crafting that you could still offer and get to be a part of an event and get your foot in the door. So definitely reach out. But social media is going to bite you in the butt. You're going to feel bad about it. Your numbers aren't going to climb. I've had so many cool jobs that I've been happy with and proud of. And I've had friends that have worked on jobs with me, and my numbers just crawl slowly. Like, but I don't really care. You know what I mean? It's like you have quality people that follow you and quality people that support what you do. I know a lot of the people that follow me by name, and I click on their pages, and it's the same people that support you and keep you going when you're failing and burning shoulders in your yard kind of thing. So it's important to realize that 10,000 people, if 2,000 people follow you, that's put 10,000 people in that room right there. That's a lot of people. You should be very proud of that. If you have 5,000 people, if you have 100 people, 100 people, think about what that number looks like. 100 people like what you do and think it's cool. So to me, it's really important to put social media in perspective.
Awesome. Just one more thing to ask you before we start going into some questions. You've done a lot, and you've only been doing this, like, 4 years?
4 years, yeah. Sounds
good. Yeah. 4 years now, and you've done a lot in 4 years that the average cosplayer hasn't had the opportunity to, and obviously, just from my perspective, a lot of that's your hustle, because you've done more work into what you've done talk about today than I've probably done in anything. But what are your goals? Like, where do you see this going for you? Because you are the cos professional of this. Where do you see this going? Like, what would you like to see accomplished? What would you, like, with the platform you've built, what would you like to see happen? And is there a point you're like, all right, when I reach this, I'm done. I'm hanging up the Warblow. Like, what are your goals?
You know, it's so interesting because I like making stuff, but I like teaching people to make stuff more. And I like instilling confidence to make stuff and helping someone follow through. I have a friend that bought, or a now friend, but a customer that bought some of my patterns. And she had a lot of questions and was kind of struggling. And I answered all of them and worked with her. And she just completed her costume, first costume she'd ever made. And there's nothing like that feeling of seeing how happy she is. And how just, it's the sense, you feel a sense of accomplishment through their accomplishment. And I feel like maybe, I kind of wanted to be a teacher when I was younger. I found a diary actually when I was 8 the other day, a Lisa Frank diary of all things.
Oh.
And it said, well, I want to be a teacher. And I still do want to be a teacher. But it's a teacher of, I guess, a teacher of art and confidence. I'm not sure what I would label myself, but I would love to be a mentor. I like that. Like Tim Gunn is my role. I love Tim Gunn. Like that character and the role on the show. I love the idea of giving people the confidence.
What show, just for everyone?
Oh, Project Runway.
Okay,
go ahead. Watch that, yes. I like being the cheerleader and offering tips and being able to have, I love learning, and I feel like I've learned so many perspectives and so many different ways to go about something that I love being able to walk up to someone and be like, I love the way you're going about it, but here, I also have tried this way and it worked and it may speed you up. I love offering any little tip and trick I can and just watching someone's process and either learning through them or helping mold their process to make them more successful or, you know, more likely to complete something. So it seems like getting people to complete a costume is the hardest thing ever. They will start it and they will have parts in progress forever, but actually finishing is really hard. And so I think that I wish there was a cosplay show that was like that. It was like Project Runway and had a mentor, because I feel like I would really enjoy being the mentor. I like that. I like teaching. But traveling and doing workshops is something I really like, but nobody really wants to travel forever. I mean, no, that's not true. People do want to travel forever. I don't know if I want to travel forever. Flights are really awful. So I would like to be able to do some things from home. I definitely enjoy. I have a podcast, and so does Hector, and I love to talk about crafting on there. It's called Crafting Geek. And I like doing things with my podcast partner. We have a lot of fun. But teaching workshops and making patterns and making videos and things that explain how to use patterns, I just like the education part of it as opposed to the dressing up and wearing. I like the dressing up and wearing, but the older that you get, the worse that gets. It's really, it's just hard. It's hard. I mean, I guess it's only hard if you choose something hard. It can be great. Maybe I'll move to, like, Jedi robes down the road.
Yes.
Like, that sounds perfect. Like, oh, man, that would be the best kind of cosplay. Because this is just, it's a little much. It's not heavy. It's just, you know, it's not what your body's used to wearing, so it's weird. Yeah, so, I don't know. I guess my goal is just to get as many people as I can to cosplay and feel confident and understand the outlet that cosplay creates for someone, especially kids or someone with an anxiety disorder, things like that. Cosplay is this beautiful land that's so forgiving and so accepting and so easy to just come right into. You know, my maker friends are incredible. They've been cosplaying for years. There's some of Evil Ted and Bill Duran and Harrison at Vulcan Props. They're some of the best makers I can even aspire to be. And once we got to know each other, we're friends, and they just accepted me. And that's the thing is, people could be elitists. But they don't. It's not like that here. It's not like that in this community, and that's so rare. I've seen it in other art worlds, but not in cosplay. It's very all inclusive, and the different tiers and different levels just kind of help each other move up a level and create together. So I definitely want to stay in the cosplay community and the creative community. I just don't know what my outlet would be. My end game. I'll just stay in it forever.
Good
keep cosplaying at 90.
All right. This time, anyone has questions for Jackie?
Don't be shy. I won't lie. I promise. Anybody have crafting questions? You can ask anything. If you're stuck on a costume, or you want to know how to make something, or you want to know, you have a con you want to go to, or you want to compete, anything. Yeah. Or about cosplay mainly.
When you make suits of armor like that, do you use a dress form? Or?
That's a good question. I do have a dress form. I don't fit my dress form, so I have to change the shape a lot. And a dress form is just like the worst thing ever, I have to say. They don't have any butt, and they have like the shortest torso, like the standard dress form design. They're so weird. I can't understand it. I'm like, I'll put something on and it'll have like a 6-inch torso, and I put it on myself and it's so bad. It's like all the way down and just the boobs out at the top, like no full coverage shirt, you know?
That's going to be your contribution to craft the first
butt
friendly
dress form. The actual best addable and removable kind of dress form. It's so bad. And they have like create your own kind of dress forms. Duct tape dummies don't work for me because I like to make patterns. I need a flat, nice surface. I like the curves of the body. I've just never been able to. Duct tape dress form will work for like putting your, like kind of strapping and putting your armor up on it. But as far as that, the beginning stages in the creation, especially if you have something that's really form fitting, like I made the Mercy breastplate and that was tailored to the actual, to a physical female body, and I couldn't get those perfect curves that were in that on a duct tape dummy. So I recommend trying to get one at the yard sale or getting one of the adjustable ones from Singer online. I have like a $100 one that's you can pin in, and it's a size 16, but it's like a size 8 actually. So ridiculous. I don't know. Like the sizes are from the 1950s. Pattern companies never evolved. I don't know if you guys have made a dress or something. You're like, I buy this size in the store, but you're telling me I need a 22 or something like that, or I'm a 2, but you're telling me I need an 8. It's very strange the way patterns haven't evolved. So it's Marilyn Monroe sizes. And I always end up having to pat it out. I'll get a bra, or you can put pantyhose or muslin and get upholstery foam and pat it out to your measurements and just get a dressmaker's tape and just keep measuring until it's your measurements. That's what I recommend. It's tricky, but the best thing you could do is attend a Reynolds class and get a body cast made of yourself, and they have expanding foam that you can pin into, which I'd like to do at some point, but it's hard. So that's what I would say about a dress form is just try to change it to your shape the best you can. You can even, you know, put your bra on it and your clothes and kind of fill it out until it works, and then at least you'll have the shape right. But it's rough. And men, I am so sorry for you guys because I just started on a male pattern and I ordered a dress form and I was like, what? Whose waist is this? It's like muscular and has all these shoulders, and there's like the tiniest little waist I've ever seen in my life. It's like a little tiny boy in a dress form. Like, what? Who is this? I end up having to adjust things on men in my life because it doesn't make any sense. It's so crazy. And we deal with the same thing as women, but a male dress form is really hard and really expensive, like an actual pin-inable one. And I don't know, I just find that it's really tricky to get things to work. You have to try it on yourself a lot. I do a lot of pushing and patterning on myself, but the best thing you can do is scale, if you can learn the math behind scaling a pattern, or just the, not the math, if you can learn the lines and darts for scaling a pattern, then get a pattern that somebody's already made that's nice, and then just alter it. So that's the thing about dress forms, is they're hit or miss. Don't feel bad if it's if yours doesn't work, because neither do any of mine. Anybody else have questions?
Okay.
Cosplay
me.
Yeah.
First of all, you're wrong.
Oh.
Secondly, I give Vixen being on there and your regular judge. What was that guy there for?
Christian, he was a, he's worked on a lot of stuff like Tron, and he has a workshop where he does a lot of, if you go look him up, like his Facebook page and like the company he works for, he makes really nice stuff, like really, really high quality, plastic stuff that looks like, it's things that you don't realize, but if you ever seen a movie like a really awesome Scream, you know, it's just so decked out and has all these gadgets and stuff, you know, somebody's making that and has to do it really well, or like Pip-Boy style stuff, you know, things that are really accurate and look really good in the, if they were in a movie, that kind of thing, console panels, just really accurate, good-looking gadgetry and precise casted kind of plastic parts. So it's, I guess he's, it's very Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why they picked the judges, but I mean, he was really nice to us.
Yeah, I understand Vixen, because she's a builder. And
oh, Leanna Bam.
With her designing and wearing and modeling, and
I
understood that. And I get the host, you need somebody as
name.
But they could have put in somebody who had like gaming skills or something.
Yeah.
Video games.
Well, I know for a fact that they did reach out to a lot of different judges, and there's reasons why. So here's the weirdest part is, I don't know if you've read any of the interviews with any of the producers or whatever. They're considering working on a group version. So instead of Cosplay Melee 2, it would be a new show that would be groups competing against groups. The executive producer did a little interview about it, but if they did a group thing, I think that they'd probably try to, after the reviews and the things that people talked about the last show, it was well received, but things like what you're saying, they want to see more makers, like Adam Savage, for example. Like, he would be the dream, you know what I mean? A lot of people love Adam Savage, and anybody that's like that, I feel like would be well received, but I know that our filming timeline actually got pushed back a lot of times, and it's always because of the judges. They're trying to get the celebrity power, the pull power. They said it's this thing of like, who's going to flip the channel and what's going to make them stay? Leanna makes people stay. You know, you see Leanna, you're like, oh, this is an interesting looking person. She's very attractive. And then recognizable judges and makers. And it's hard. It's harder than I realize scheduling all the different judges. And I know some good makers in our community were reached out to, but it's that whole thing of how long do I have to be there and what is, you know, what's the pay? And if I have a regular job, but I'm a maker in this community that has a good reputation, do I have to leave my job for a month to come to your filming schedule, and then it gets changed? And I guess the filming in Hollywood world is just so unpredictable and so in flux all the time that it's really hard to nail somebody down for it. But I would love to see some YouTubers and some other like more, I don't know, youthful personalities that are very facially easily recognized. Like Jenna Marbles, she'd be awesome, you know. She cosplays like the best Hillary Clinton ever. You know? She could totally be on there. But it would be awesome to see some more creators on there. But yeah, I guess there's a lot of executive science that goes behind it that we'll never know why they choose what they choose. Anybody else? Yeah.
You mentioned leaving your job for a month. Do you have a second job that you do with cosplay as well?
I do, yes. And I recommend having a job.
Hey, money.
Yes, don't quit it all and just cosplay. I run rentals. My grandparents retired, and I was raised by them. I've always taken care of them, and they have a rental business on the Outer Banks, and so it's my obligation to take care of them, and I run it. So it allows for a lot of flexible scheduling for me, which is great, and I have a nice big shop right in the yard now, which is great. So, but I'm very lucky in that regard, and it's hard if you have a 9-to-5 or a really grueling job or you're somebody really important somewhere. Like, it's definitely hard to give any hours to cosplay, so definitely find a good balance. Don't go all in like I do sometimes. Yeah. What was your question?
I was just wondering, what would you recommend for someone who doesn't have a lot of time, a lot of money, or a lot of skill, I guess you could say, so like, if they want to do cosplay, like, what's some, like, materials, tools, and stuff that you would recommend for, like, a low?
So, I would say, get a pattern, because that's the most time saver, and you will mess up the least. My pattern that I made a pattern with Simplicity, it's size 2 to 22, female pattern, and it's available at Joann's and Walmart, and it was on sale for $1. So, like, it just came out, and then it was on sale for $1. Like, thank you guys, that's so cool. But, look, luckily for you guys, if it's still on sale for a dollar, go pick it up, because you can't get a whole body pattern for a dollar. That's a really good deal. And it has instructions, and then you're less likely to fail and have just scraps of material. It's like throwing, it's so much throwing money down the drain. You hate that feeling of cutting warble, cutting foam, and you're like, you know, like, this looks terrible. I hate this. So if you have a pattern, you are more likely to finish. And do foam. I would highly recommend foam. I only recommend Warblet if you like to sculpt, you like that feeling of it, and you're okay with learning a little bit about how the material needs to be used. Warblet's reusable. It's pretty durable. I like it for speed building. Like if I need something that needs to be rigid and it needs to be able to hold a sculpt on top, like a skull or gems, and I need to have something that will be rigid on a shape I like really quickly, Warblet's great for that. Warblet over foam. Everything has its advantages and disadvantages, but I would say that getting some foam, TNT Cosplay Supply foam is a little more expensive, but you get a huge variety, and it's also not doesn't have a tread on the other side. And I will say, the rubberized coating that makes the bottom of the floor mat a floor mat does affect how that foam is, how it's shapeable, like how you can shape it if it's easy or not. And after working with TNT and how easy it is to not have that rubberized coating that pulls, that fights against you when you're shaping, it speeds me up a lot. But if you're on a budget, it's okay. Go to Harbor Freight, get yourself that foam, and you can even sand off the other side to make sure it has more give. It's okay to start cheap. But Rocky, the guy that was the Optimus Prime, you guys saw him at the con? He was an Iron Man at Wizard World Rally a few years ago, and he made it all out of cardboard and like Bondo and stuff. So you can start anywhere. You know, you can do. I don't use polyester resin on principle. I just don't like it. It's the most deadly of all the resins. So I stay away from that. And I
sounds like a bad video game.
Yeah.
Deadly resins.
Deadly resins. So Warblet is really safe, and foam is safer than resin. So you have to weigh, you have to consider a lot of reasons why you choose what you choose and what you think you can work with the best. But I'd say foam, easy, and get a pattern. There's a lot of people that sell patterns. I sell patterns on my store online. Kamui sells patterns. Ted, Punished Props. I mean, there are a lot of pattern makers. Sayla Sarah, that's another one. So that's the cool thing about cosplay now is you don't have to do it all on your own. There's a full male knight pattern that Simplicity has now. And, I mean, it's crazy. It's so weird to think of how fast you can crank something out if you really want to. It's great. It saves a lot of time. You know, you don't want to spend months just in the pattern stage. So I recommend starting there. Save you a lot of time and headache.
So just off of her question, though, you recommended foam. What would you recommend to, like...
Oh, contact cement for sure. You can use hot glue, and you can use super glue, and then just message me when you have a problem. And I'll tell you because it works, and I have used it. I made my dredge in a hurry, and I was like, I'll try something different. So I used super glue and hot glue, and I had straps break at PAX East when I was working in the con, and it's just not worth the headache, you know? It's not worth it. It's way better just spend $8 on contact cement and be patient while it dries tacky on both sides and putting it together. And you have more control because I'm able to, like, really force and shape the foam into the registration keys, whereas hot glue, you are literally bending to the will of the hot glue cooling, and it can goop all out all over the place. And I'm messy with hot glue. I don't know about you guys, but I can't make it look good. Some people are great, and they can, like, do filigree with hot glue. Who are you? Like, my hot glue is all over myself, my pants, and the costume. It's bad looking. So super glue works fine, but, again, it's all over my fingers, and it's some super glues are better than others for holding things together. Super glue, I would say, is probably, on the scale, it goes contact cement, super glue, and then hot glue. Hot glue! But Builder Inn made this entire Mass Effect armor held together with super glue, and it's still held together. It's been worn by 20-some people, which is funny. He has, like, this whole running thing where any maker that visits him, he puts them in it and takes a picture. It's just a funny thing. So, yeah, super glue works, but, yeah. Barge or contact cement from DAP.
Okay. Any other questions?
Other questions?
What kind of super glue is it? Because I noticed regular super glue, you use cracks.
Yeah, gosh, Harrison at Open Props recommended a really good one. It's super liquidy. It's ultra instant setting, which is good and bad, but it's super strong. I also like the gel one that Loctite makes because I feel like I have more control of that. The ones that are super liquidy, I end up having it run, and it'll be all over, and I'm just messy again. But the gel is, you have such control with that. It's really, really good. So if you see it's like Loctite or Gorilla make the gel. I would say I don't have a super preference between super glues except for like crazy glue. The crazy glue doesn't really stay together for me. Super glue also, like in the way that super glue is designed, it can hold a grip like this, but it can't hold like a grip like this. So if something's going to pull like a strap like this, the way that adhesive works, it's going to come off on you. So keep in mind this only.
So barge is good for this.
Which is a weird thing. You can't move your arms at once.
Yeah, yeah. If you have like, oh yeah, I'm moving this. Anybody else? Any questions? Yes.
What are your strong suits in cosplay, and what are you very much?
Because I said how bad I am at everything. Is that why you asked
me
that? I figure my strongest suit is I'll just figure it out. Like if I don't know how to do it, I'll figure it out. And it may not be the best way to do it. It may not be a way anybody else has done it. It may look crazy, and it may look like a kindergarten project until it doesn't. But I don't give up. And so I have the ability to look outside of, or to think outside of the box and really look at something and be able to see all the different ways it can be something else. And I don't know how my brain works that way or how to make someone else's brain work that way, but it works for me that I will just keep trying until it works out. But I have, oddly enough, even though I had great fun and doing titrations and whatnot in school, I don't enjoy little very precise things like having to measure silicone with like a gram in the grams of it. I'd rather have something that's like a 1-to-1 volume, even though there's advantages and disadvantages to that. But I using a vacuum chamber or pressure pod to degas resin for clear gems. I hate that. I just want it to be clear. Like I get it. I get that I, you know, to make it clear, got to do that. But it's just so much effort. You know, there's like things like that that. I just don't enjoy it, but I will sand and I will do things like that. You have to like whatever you're doing, and I feel like forcing myself to do something I don't like to get a good end result is a weakness. But my ability to be okay with reaching out to others and ask it for advice, a lot of people can't ask for advice, and I do not understand this. I just blows my mind. They're like, I don't want to look stupid. What? Who said you look stupid? Look how cool you are for trying something. You're making something cool, and it's going to look really cool in the end. So if you felt stupid when you were asking for it, then show them how cool it ended up. You know what I mean? So don't be afraid to ask questions. I just feel like have the confidence and just don't care about what anybody else thinks. It's just so ridiculous. People will like what you do, and you'll feel great. But I hate mold making, just to end on a note like that. I hate it. It's so bad. It's like, it's great, the result. I'm like, oh, look at this cool thing I made. It's so fun. I love being able to cast something with, like, Onyx Fast, it's 15 minutes, it's like warm, and you pull it out, don't pull it out when it's warm, but because it can still warp. But I like it anyway, and I love like being able to make a whole bunch of something. I made for Thunderbird Fair a whole bunch of flexible wing, or flexible feathers, that were translucent with the Smooth Cast flexible series, and that was so fun and so rewarding. It was just cool to work with a new material. But casting's messy, man. It's so messy, and it's very precise. Like, if you look at Core Geek, my friend that I do the podcast with, or Harrison at Bolton Props, and you look at their molds are a work of art. They put so much effort in making the cleanest, most precise molds, and that takes a lot of time. Eric spent 10 hours claying up a sword one day. Like, what? That is not fun at all, but his molds are amazing, and he could pull 40 casts out of it. So you have patience. That's the thing. I have patience with people. I don't have patience with mold making. You gotta have patience. So.
And on that note, it's our time. Is there anywhere you want them to follow you?
Online you can see me on social media. You can just see me online. Just type in online.
Yes, she is the internet.
I am there. Hey guys, remember the little paperclip that used to pop up in Word? Like, hey, cosplay, what are you looking for? So it's Jackie Craft on all platforms, Jackie Craft Cosplay. You can check me out there. I post a lot of
her Instagram is Jackie
though.
With an I.
Jackie with an I, yes.
No E.
Because some other Jackie took it. I don't know who she is. I find her. But yeah, it's online on all those things, and I post a lot of work in progress stuff and things that fail for me or things that succeed, and I'm very active and answer questions, so you can always get a hold of me.
And
yeah. And my store links are off of my Instagram and Facebook if you're interested in getting some patterns. Yeah.
She'll be walking around today, and if you haven't been by her booth is on this far wall, about center, kind of near where, right over there. And if you want to check her out on Cosplay Melee, it's episode 2. Episode 2 of season 1. And it's a Game of Thrones centered episode, and you can purchase that on Amazon Prime if you want to check
Amazon,
that out.
It's on all of Amazon Prime, iTunes, I think everything.
Yeah, everything.
Or if you have, you can do it. If you have like a cable provider, you can log in and watch it on sci-fi.com. It's still on demand on Charter, like on actual TV, but like nobody has TV. Yeah. Everybody watches it online. So. All
right. Let's thank Jackie for being here with us today.
Nice to have people to talk to, and I'm not in my shop by myself. It's great.